Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of True Crime with Kendall Ray. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you're new to the show, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. So you guys, today we are jumping into a case that I think you will all agree, in fact, I know you will all agree, should absolutely have a conclusion by now. It's been over a decade at this point without any justice and without any answers. Today, I'm going to be telling you about the disappearance of Shelley Mook, a young mother who is navigating a divorce. She was a teacher, and she was also raising her young daughter. And everything about her case is so incredibly frustrating and sad. And I just wish so badly that there were, you know, some answers or some kind of justice for Shelley's loved ones, especially for her daughter. And her story is also one that hasn't gotten much coverage. And I really haven't seen anyone talk about it in the last couple of years. So I'm hopeful that by sharing her case today, we can maybe kind of get her name back out there. I know from my experiences working with families and talking to them that oftentimes it can feel like people have forgotten about the victim when no one's talking about it anymore. And I can see how you would totally feel like that. And I don't want that to be the case for Shelley. We have also reached out to Shelley's family to see if they're interested in a Hope grant through my foundation, Higher Hope. See if there's, you know, any way that they can think of that we could support them. All right, let's go ahead and get into Shelley's disappearance. And before I start, this is one of those cases where I have to tell you that everyone I speak about today is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, which probably tells you the direction that this is going to be going and makes it incredibly frustrating. So just buckle in for that. And, you know, it's just so hard with Shelley because we're talking about someone who really only wanted to make the world a better place, was trying to make a difference. And while doing so, she seemingly just vanished. Shelley Lynn Jones was born on June 29th, 1987, and she was originally from Erie, Pennsylvania. And people who had the fortune of knowing her say that she was very, very kind. She was also responsible and loving. And she had the most beautiful blonde hair and green hazel eyes. And her best friend, Brittany, said that everyone always told her she had a $1 million smile. Shelley and Brittany were childhood friends. And Brittany distinctly remembers that when they were in high school, there was this good-looking older guy who sort of caught both of their attention. And he was about 6 years older than they were, quite a bit. And he had a bit of a bad boy reputation. And he was into cars and girls. And it sounded like kind of a lot of girls fawned over him. Now, the two of them first met him at a party. And since they were both, you know, interested in him, they decided to make a bet about who he would go out with. And it ended up being Shelley. This older guy was named Tyler Mook. And I have to just say really quick, the last name Mook has really confused me. There's a couple different sources. Most sources seem to pronounce it Mook. There are a couple sources that pronounce it Mook. And just by looking at it, I would have guessed it's Mook. But I'm going to go with what the majority of sources said, which is Mook. But anyway, her and Tyler ended up going out, and the two of them were practically inseparable after this. In fact, right after Shelley graduated from high school in 2004, they ended up getting married in Hawaii. She had gotten pregnant, and they ultimately decided that marriage was the next step in their relationship. And shortly after that, she gave birth to their daughter, who goes by Lily. And then Shelley decided to go back to school to become a teacher. And it sounds like things were, you know, okay for a little while, but After some time, things really started to sour. Tyler became emotionally and physically abusive towards Shelly. And there were also allegations of infidelity, and her loved ones became very worried about her. Brittany explained that it was just one of those relationships where, you know, when it was good, it was good. But when it was bad, it was bad. They had the classic on and off again cycle, and every time they were off, he would try to win her back again with these love letters and promises of grand gestures and gifts. Like, for example, he would say things like, "Shelly, my love, congrats on your first full day of teaching. My love for you grows like a wildfire. I'm polishing myself for you." Which, interesting thing to say, "I'm polishing myself for you." Anyway, that was in a letter. And then he also had a letter to her that said, "I love you with all my heart. I don't want anybody else but you." And he had also promised that he was going to take her on a cruise in the Caribbean, but that never ended up happening. And finally, by 2009, Shelly was done with this horrible treatment, and she knew it just wasn't a safe environment for her daughter Lily anymore. So she left him and was granted primary custody of Lily. Tyler did have visitation on Wednesdays and then also every other weekend, but for the most part, Shelly was the one who raised her, and rightfully so. Fall always really feels like a reset. Between back to school, busier routines, shorter days, and the holidays coming up, finding time to cook can be really difficult. That's why I love Factor. Their chef-prepared, dietitian-approved meals make it easy to stay on track and enjoy something comforting and delicious no matter how hectic this season gets. And what I love about Factor is there's a lot of variety. And now there's even more variety and more meals. You can choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp at no extra cost. And you can savor global flavors. For the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. And I've got to mention it because I'm obsessed with it. Their quinoa vegan chili is so good. I love having it at least once a week. It's so delicious. I love that it's easy to eat and it's also high in protein and fiber, so I can have it after a workout and I'm going to be feeling great. And I also love bringing my Factor meals to work with me so that I'm not tempted to order out or eat donuts if they happen to be here, you know, something like that. From more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life, and I am one of those people. Feel the difference no matter your routine. Eat smart at factormeals.com/TCKR50off and use code TCKR50off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code TCKR50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. I never thought that I would have so much passion for something like this next product, bone broth. Incorporating Kettle and Fire bone broth was a game changer for me. Not only is it delicious, is it satisfying, does it warm your soul, but it's also incredibly good for you. It's packed with protein and collagen, which helps keep me full, supports digestion, and helps give me steady energy. And it's easy, just 2 minutes in the microwave and I'm good to go. Now, you can have it in the morning. You could have it at the 3 p.m. slump. You could have it in the evening like me. I prefer to have it as a post-dinner meal when I'm getting, you know, the cravies in bed and I just want something warm, especially on the cold nights lately. It's a cozy and nourishing ritual that feels indulgent, but it's actually good for me because I'm getting 19 grams of protein, baby. And it's also nice as a to-go snack. You can put it in a little, you know, thermos situation, bring it with you in the car. And it's great when life gets busy and it's going to support your gut health without extra pills and supplements. It'll get you that quick protein fix. It'll make clean eating convenient and satisfying. It's made with 100% grass-fed and finished beef bones or organic free-range chicken bones. No additives, no preservatives, no weird stuff, just clean, real ingredients. And you can get all of this without changing your whole routine. You just heat and sip. For a limited time, you can get a free carton of Kettle and Fire bone broth by going to kettleandfire.com/TCKR. Just buy any three cartons in store and they're going to pay you back for one. This works on any flavor at any retailer. You can find Kettle and Fire at over 22,000 stores nationwide, including Costco, Walmart, Target, Publix, Whole Foods, Kroger, and Sprouts. That's K-E-T-T-L-E and fire.com/TCKR. And Shelly absolutely loved being a mom, and she loved her daughter. And she would have done anything for her. She even had her name tattooed on her wrist, and a lily flower tattooed on her back. And by the time that the two of them split up, they had moved to Shelbyville, Tennessee, which is in Bedford County. Tyler's family lived in Tennessee, and back when things were good between them, they wanted to be closer to them. After the divorce, though, Shelly moved to Murfreesboro in the county of Rutherford. And from what I've been able to gather, it seems like she was doing really well in life. She got a job working as an 8th grade teacher at Harris Middle School, and she was loved by all of her students and colleagues. People really only had great things to say about her, especially when it came to her as a mother. Lily was the most important person in her life, hands down, and she would have never done anything to jeopardize being around her. So, of course, when Shelly didn't come to pick up her daughter on the night of February 28th, 2011, as she was expected to, red flags quickly started to rise. It was a Monday, and going into that week, she had gotten a substitute teacher for that day, as well as for the following day as well, which was Tuesday, March 1st. And she had just moved over the weekend into a new apartment, so she wanted to finish unpacking and take care of some appointments and just personal stuff as well. And on Monday the 28th, Shelly had a handyman coming to her place around 4:30 in the afternoon, but she never made it to that appointment. And the last anyone had seen her was between 3 and 4 p.m. when she was at Tyler's house, her ex-husband, dropping off Lily. And it sounds like he was just going to watch her for a couple of hours while she was back at her apartment taking care of a few other things, and then she was going to pick her up later that night. But then she never showed up, and that was the first sign that something was really wrong. Also, her mom, Deborah, had been trying to reach her the whole afternoon, and she was really concerned that she wasn't getting a response. Deborah had actually been in town that weekend helping her move, but Monday morning, she went back to Pennsylvania, and when she couldn't get a hold of Shelly on Monday or Tuesday, she really started to panic. She even called Harris Middle School on Wednesday, and they were the ones who told her that she didn't show up that morning. And they were expecting her, because as I explained, she had a substitute for Monday and for Tuesday, but she was supposed to be there on Wednesday. So as soon as her mom hears this, she gets right in her car, and she drives through the night to Tennessee. And when she gets there, she realizes that her daughter was definitely missing. And not only that, but she and everyone else learned that at 12:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning, Shelly's car was found on fire in an open field about 20 miles away. And you guys, the whole thing was torched, and it was clearly done on purpose. And because of how severe the damage was, it took the authorities a little bit of time to figure out who this car even belonged to. But once they were able to link it to Shelly, they knew that this was a much bigger situation than just arson. This was the case of a missing woman, and I hate to say this, but over the years, it has become the assumption that she is no longer alive. And of course, you can never say for sure, but nobody in Shelly's life believes that she would have just walked away. And what makes this case so frustrating is that, in my opinion, it seems very obvious, but to this day, there is, unfortunately, no physical evidence whatsoever, at least that we know of, to explain where she is or what happened to her. Nothing. Hence why it's all just an assumption that she is no longer alive. One thing we do know is that she definitely didn't light her own car on fire. There's just no world where she would have done that herself and just walked away from her life and her daughter. So investigators turned to the person who saw her last to see if they could get a better idea of what her movements were that day. And like I said, that person was Tyler. And right from the beginning, Tyler was not cooperative. An agent with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation has even confirmed that he hasn't cooperated in her case, and many believe that he's done a lot worse than that. Many people, and I mean many, many people, including myself, believe that he is responsible for what happened to her. And that is just my opinion. He is actually the only person who is named a person of interest in this case, and I can 100% see why. And I think I know how most of you are going to feel, because Tyler has never participated in any of the search efforts. He has never publicly expressed his concern for the mother of his child going missing, and he has been super shady about their final interaction. Just get this, okay? So within a week of Shelly going missing, her mom filed an emergency petition to get custody of Lily. Makes sense, right? So there was some legal back and forth between her and Tyler's parents. But finally, in July of 2011, there was a hearing. Now, obviously, the biggest reason that Deborah wanted to get temporary custody of Lily was to make sure that she was in a safe and loving home during this very stressful time. And with Tyler's history of abuse and drug use, and also not to mention his suspected involvement in her mom's disappearance and presumed murder, she understandably didn't want Lily to be around him. But a bonus piece to all of this was that Tyler would have to be asked under oath about the events of February 28th. And you guys will not believe the nerve of this piece of trash. When he was asked about this day, he pleaded the fifth somewhere between 140 and 150 times.
How did you and Shelley get along after the divorce?
We had our ups and downs.
What does that mean?
A few arguments here and there.
What were the arguments over?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully declined on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
On February 28th, did Shelley come to your residence with Lily?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully declined to answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
And I don't even know what to make of this. I can't understand Tyler's freak mindset. But the only question that he would actually answer was if they had sex that day. And he said yes.
Did you have sex with Shelley on February 28th?
Yes.
What time?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully declined to answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment.
I literally cannot understand what the point of this was. I don't get what the point of saying you plead the fifth for every other question except for this. It's almost like he was bragging. I think that was probably what it was, right? But he's such an idiot that he doesn't realize that this only makes him more suspicious, because if you did have sex, you would think, which first of all, I highly doubt, but you would think that he would want to offer a little more insight into what happened before that, afterwards, but no, he just continued to plead the fifth. Now, Lily was also asked to testify in this hearing. Mind you, she was like 6 years old, but listen to how crazy this is. It turns out that at some point in time, Tyler had given his daughter, his young daughter, a box of matches and told her to light a fire under her grandmother's bed, Shelley's mom to be specific. And apparently this was a conversation that Tyler's mom was involved with as well. Thankfully, this didn't actually come to fruition, but what the actual fuck? Asking your child to do something like this is insane on its own. Giving them the tools to do it. But you're going to start realizing that it is insane because Tyler is just fucking crazy. And thankfully, the judge realized that too. In the hearing, there was a lot of testimony about Tyler's drug use, as well as his history of verbal and physical abuse. And the judge decided that he was unfit to parent Lily due to the fact that he posed a substantial risk of harm to her. This guy, Tyler, is a real piece of shit, a real nasty, low vibrational man. Just one of the worst out there, you know? And he didn't even testify about how much he loves his daughter or say anything to try and make anyone even believe that he actually wanted custody. Because I don't think he really did. You just would think, you would hope that any father would make some kind of effort to show that he wants his child in his life, but he didn't. The court said, quote, "Ordinarily, a party seeking custody of his child would testify on his love for his child, his activities for his child, and his plans to acquire a home of his own in which to house his child if he was still living with his own parents. In this case, father did not testify of his love for Lily, activities for he and Lily, or future plans for he and Lily." There was testimony from someone else, though, about a time that he had road rage and was chasing Shelley and Lily from his own car, during which time he tried to swerve into them so that Shelley would have to swerve into oncoming traffic just to avoid him. There were also people who testified about his history of drug dealing and all the horrible ways he had treated Shelley. And in the end, thankfully, this all resulted in him losing custody. If you're listening to this and you happen to be someone who has struggled with hair thinning or shedding, you're probably like me just a couple of years ago, and you've seen a million ads out there for hair growth products and thought, sure, like that actually works. Now, I did too, until I found Nutrafol on my own before they started sponsoring me after doing some research, and I found out that Nutrafol is not like the rest of them. Nutrafol is physician formulated, clinically tested, and dermatologists recommend it. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people, and I am one of them. I love Nutrafol. I plan on getting on their postpartum formula again after I have this baby. I use it after my daughter was born and saw incredible results. And you can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, which is the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy using a variety of hair measurement tools like hair counts and pull tests to assess growth, quality, shedding, and texture. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. And for a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Kendall Ray. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Kendall Ray. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Kendall Ray. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money that you've earned should be in your hands, and with Earnin, it can be. Earnin is an app that lets you access your pay as you earn it, up to $150 a day with a max of $750 between paydays. Just download the Earnin app and add in your info, then start accessing your pay as you work. Leave an optional tip to help keep the app running for everyone. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Earnin's mission is to make financial momentum accessible for everyone. Earnin could really come in handy for a last-minute gift for a loved one, taking the family out to a dinner or an event, maybe a holiday or birthday, tickets that might sell out before payday. For me, I think one of the best examples of how Earnin could be used is an unexpected trip to the vet. And coming from someone with 10 pets, I know how pricey that can get. So download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in True Crime with Kendall Ray under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. True Crime with Kendall Ray under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit Earnin.com for full details. Download Earnin now and take control of your pay. Deborah was awarded custody of Lily, and she moved her back home to Pennsylvania, where she was able to build a much safer, happier life. However, before she moved, investigators did bring in a child specialist to speak with her. They wanted to see if she had any memories about what happened the day her mom went missing. And turns out, she definitely did. According to Lily, the two of them went over to her dad's house that day, but only her mom went inside. She was left in the car, and she remembers that her mom was upset. And then her dad ended up being the one to come out of the house and bring her inside. And when she was brought inside, he sent her straight to her room, and she was told to stay in her room and not come out. And she didn't come out. Tyler closed the door, and she stayed in there. And at no point did she ever see her mom inside the house, which just confirmed that Tyler was the last person to see her. But huge shocker here. He has a different story. In a later hearing, he starts sharing slightly more information than he had before, but don't get your hopes up. It's not that much. According to Tyler, he confirmed that Shelly came by his place on that Monday, the 28th, between 3 and 4 o'clock. He also agreed that she was upset and came into the house. He claimed that she was worried that her new boyfriend was cheating on her, but after an hour of talking, he said that she left his house to go run errands and take care of that appointment with the handyman. He also said that she was supposed to come pick Lily up around 10 p.m., but obviously that never happened. Apparently he texted and called her, but the only message he received was a response at 7 p.m. that said, "I will, babe." We don't know what that means. We don't know if that was her. And that's it. That's all he said. And to my understanding, he has not been questioned since. In fact, a private investigator, Kevin Keel, has been looking into her disappearance, and he doesn't believe Tyler has ever truly been interviewed in depth. And sadly, no evidence has turned up to push her case forward. Multiple searches have been conducted to try and locate Shelly. They even brought in the assistance of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, but nothing has panned out so far. A mobile crime lab went to Tyler's house 3 days after she disappeared, but it doesn't sound like anything was found there. He did move out of his house and in with his parents that day, though, which isn't a crime, but definitely weird. There was a tip about a year and a half in that brought a huge team of law enforcement to a rail yard in Cowan, Tennessee, but in the end, that didn't turn up any leads. Tyler's neighbor's van was even seized and searched, but that also came up empty. Or at least if anything was found, it hasn't been mentioned. One thing we do know is that her phone last pinged around 7:30 p.m. in the area of Beech Grove, Tennessee. I believe that's about 15 to 20 minutes away from Tyler's place, and there's just no reason that she would have gone there voluntarily. So that's been a confusing piece of this puzzle. And then the only other thing that I could find has been this uncovered bit of surveillance camera footage that captured Tyler at a gas station 10 days after Shelley went missing. It was a few miles away from his house. I wasn't able to figure out exactly where, but he is seen pulling up in his red truck, and then he stopped at the dumpster for like 5 to 10 minutes. Unfortunately, that footage has not been released, but I don't know, you guys. Can you think of a reason why anyone would really need to spend 5 to 10 minutes hanging out at a gas station dumpster? This is absolutely just one of those cases where there are a lot of smaller yet suspicious things that suggest what happened, but because she hasn't been found, there hasn't been any concrete evidence. Therefore, justice has had to wait. And speaking of suspicious, I have to know your thoughts on this one. This is also one of the dumbest things I have heard in any of these cases, one of the biggest self-reports possible. And still, we don't get a lot from it, which is maddening. But oh my God, what a dummy. So while the custody dispute was still in progress, Tyler butt-dialed 911. How you do this, I don't know. I've thought maybe he had, I do not know. I cannot figure out how he butt-dialed 911. How do you do that? Oh my God. But anyway, he was with his dad and they must have been working with like power tools or something because it's hard to hear at certain points, but it's about a 20-minute call. Yeah, he called 911 and talked for 20 minutes and only a little bit of the audio has been released. Thankfully, they recorded the whole thing. But you can hear him talk about Shelley's disappearance in the part that has been released. He doesn't admit to doing anything to her, but he makes references to potential evidence that investigators may have against him, specifically that they have witnesses who saw him walking in the middle of the road on the night her car was found in flames.
Hello.
I think it's just not Debbie. I think it's a lawyer. Joel.
Sure.
Debbie.
Judge,
the DA, and both of two or three county sheriffs in the TBI.
Yep.
And they know that I'm not going anywhere right now because I don't have Luke.
They can't prove nothing.
And they know that there's a better chance of me leaving
with Luke. They've done their job. They trampled all over your rights. They did everything humanly possible. The situation as it was. Many here, okay, magic park boys. Somebody's gonna pay for this.
Oh, they already got a bunch of people lined up. I keep hearing through the grits and find through Jason and Renee's mom. Oh, they got people seeing me leave that night. Oh, they seen Sean's car going down the road that night. He wasn't driving. Oh, somebody seen me walking down the road in the middle of the night. Let's get a couple more of those people by running the same train track.
Then his dumbass realizes that he had just called 911 and yapped for 20 minutes. So he's even, God, he is so stupid. He then calls back to ask specifically if that call had been recorded. I mean, just make yourself look any more suspicious, Tyler, please.
What's your name?
This is Tyler Mook.
Okay.
Did you get a call from this number here a couple minutes ago?
Yes, we had an open line from it.
What happens on that open line? Does it get recorded and stuff like that?
Hang on just a second, sir.
The fact that this dude is concerned about the call being recorded and is stupid enough to call back and get that on record as well says a lot, if you ask me. If you're like me, you might be someone who forgets easily. Someone who doesn't like dealing with things. Someone maybe who has a little bit of anxiety when it comes to customer service. And that's why I am someone who loves Rocket Money. Rocket Money changed the game for me because I was wasting so much money on subscriptions and free trials that I never actually used. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you to lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money shows you all of your expenses in one place, including your subscriptions you forgot about. And if you see a subscription you no longer want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it. Their dashboard lays out your total financial picture, including your bill due dates and paydays, in a way that's going to be easy to digest. You can even automatically create custom budgets based on your past spending. And if you've got a goal you'd like to save for, Rocket Money can help you to analyze your accounts to find the best time each month to put that extra money aside. Rocket Money has saved users over $2.5 billion, including over 880 million in just canceled subscriptions alone. Their 10 million members save up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's premium features. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Just go to rocketmoney.com/Kendall Ray today. That's rocketmoney.com/Kendall Ray. Once again, rocketmoney.com/Kendall Ray. And the frustrating thing with this case is that so many people believe, including myself, that the simplest explanation here is the most likely answer. Isn't that called Occam's razor or whatever? At the end of the day, you guys, there isn't direct evidence linking Tyler to Shelly's disappearance, but he was the last person to see her. And he had a history of violence against her. And that private investigator that I briefly mentioned said that he fully believes that Tyler is responsible and that his motive was simply, if I can't have her, nobody can. We know that she had a boyfriend, so he believes that it's possible that she said something about him that upset Tyler. Of course, that's alleged, but it's a theory. And in my opinion, it's a good one. And before you ask, I'm sure some of you are wondering, her boyfriend and the handyman as well were both ruled out as suspects. Tyler's possible involvement seems the most likely to myself and to many others. Although I have to be very clear here, that is still alleged. Although we do know that he is capable, at the very least, of attempted murder. Let me explain. This is absolutely wild. But after he lost custody, Tyler ended up moving to Florida. And I don't know this for sure, but it sounds like he made this move to go and start a new, fresh life where people didn't know him as the guy who is suspected of making his ex-wife disappear. Well, while he's there, he ends up dating this woman named Robin. And for a while, things were going well. She was a single mom with a young daughter, and her impression was that she and Tyler were on a path towards marriage. A friend had introduced them, and apparently they got really serious really fast. But then Robin realized that Tyler wasn't who he said he was. He told her his last name was Cook. But then one day, when he took her on his new boat, she saw that the name of the boat was Mook Racing. And when she asked him about it, he said that Mook was his real last name, and that he had just been kidding about it being Cook this entire time. So naturally, she Googles his ass, and obviously, everything with Shelly came up. Can you imagine how scary this would have been for Robin to find out that the guy that you've been dating, the guy that you think you want to marry, has been lying about his last name, and far worse than that, he is suspected of making his ex-wife disappear? Well, Robin said that she was super freaked out, especially considering the fact that she and Shelly kind of look similar. And long story short, she said that she tried to break up with him, but he smooth-talked his way into convincing her to stay. He gave her some BS story that Shelly wasn't missing. She just ran away overseas to be with the guy that she was dating. And Tyler could be incredibly convincing, I guess. But his true colors did eventually show. It was 2014, and one day, Robin, Tyler, Tyler's brother Andrew, and Andrew's girlfriend all decided to go for a little boat ride. Robin happened to be running late, though, which really pissed Tyler off. So much so that when she finally got there and got on the boat, he started speeding off. They were at Indian River Lagoon, which of course, like many areas, has no wake zones for certain areas with a lot of manatees. But Tyler was just plowing through these with absolutely no regard. And as I think anyone would do, Robin told him that he needed to slow down. Well, her just telling him to slow down triggered Tyler enough that he stopped the boat. He then grabbed Robin super aggressively, and I guess she was trying to call her mom at the time, so he ripped her phone away from her, threw it, and then he grabbed her sunglasses off her head, threw those, and then threw her into the water. Then after that, he jumps into the water as well, and he starts trying to drown her. Quite literally, he is trying to drown her. At one point, she explains that he is holding her upside down in the water. And she, you know, is fully freaking out. And he would have been successful at drowning her if his brother didn't jump in the water and save her. Andrew said that he put Tyler in a chokehold, which gave Robin the chance to swim away. She then swam to a nearby boat where these two guys managed to pull her aboard. And they actually remember that Tyler was screaming at them and looked visibly pissed. And then they got out of there as quickly as possible to keep Robin safe. And coincidentally, there happened to be a cop right where they boated to. And they managed to arrest Tyler that afternoon on a battery charge. However, that charge was upgraded shortly after this to attempted first-degree murder. And what's interesting is Robin was visited by detectives from Tennessee, and we don't know what was said, but it's believed that that's what prompted them to upgrade these charges. Now, as for Tyler's trial for this incident, that happened in the beginning of March of 2016. And it only lasted for a few days, but there were definitely a lot of wild moments and undeniably damning testimony. The jury heard from Tyler's own brother, Andrew, and also Andrew's girlfriend, and from Robin herself, all of whom retold the horrifying events of that day as he attempted to take Robin's life. And Andrew made it clear that he didn't want to testify against his brother, but he was ordered by the court to do so. And he described not only what he witnessed, but about how he had to put his own brother in a chokehold to stop him. And when Andrew's girlfriend testified, she said she specifically remembered hearing Tyler say, "Nobody disrespects me in front of my family. I'll kill her." And then, of course, Robin testified that day as well about how Tyler had tried to kill her. She described the fear that she felt when he threw her into the water and how she fought to try and stay alive as he continuously tried to push her under. And obviously, there was no denying that he did this. The argument here was over his intent. Of course, in the prosecution's eyes, his intention was to kill her, which I think that's most of our perspective, right? And then in the eyes of the defense, they said, sure, Tyler was mad, but he wasn't trying to kill her that day. They argued that because Robin never needed mouth to mouth and had the capacity to yell and swim to another boat, that this wasn't as brutal of an attack as she had claimed it was. But in the end, though, thank God, the jury found him guilty. Not of attempted first-degree murder, though, but attempted second-degree instead. And I thought this was really sweet and also very powerful, but Shelley's family was actually there in support of Robin. And thankfully, Tyler was given a pretty hefty prison sentence of 12 years. And of course, I think most people, including myself, believe he deserves much more, but I guess 12 is better than nothing, and I could see it going the other way where he could have easily just gotten away with this without really serving any time at all, or literally no time at all. Now, as for Shelley's case, I wish I had better news for you guys, but it seems to still just be at a standstill. Some people believe his family knows something and they're just protecting him. Others believe they don't know anything. But that being said, almost nobody in Tyler's life has spoken publicly to defend him. And in my opinion, that says a lot. He does have one friend, Erica, who does seem to believe that he is innocent, or at the very least, she is waiting to make a judgment until there's an actual arrest. But it's like, girl, really? She says that Tyler has always been incredibly thoughtful towards her and her family, and it's hard for her to think he would be capable of this. And girl, I don't know you. I don't want to judge. I know it is hard to picture someone that has been nice to you could be possibly involved in something like this, but it does happen. And I gotta say, it sounds a bit silly the way you're talking. We all know, including you, that he is capable of trying to kill someone. He went to jail for 12 years for that. So let's do the math here. If he's capable of trying, and all the, you know, facts we do have on this case sort of line up a certain way, who is to say that he isn't capable of doing? And you cannot forget that at the end of the day, the only reason that Robin is still alive most likely is because Tyler was stopped. As of 2017, Tennessee District Attorney Robert Carter said, quote, "I don't think there's any doubt a crime has been committed. The issue now is, can we gather enough information, put it together to get beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law? This is a very active case. It's being worked extremely hard. And man, I really hope so." He also says they are committed to getting justice, but they don't want to rush it. Now, of course, there is some sense of relief for everyone considering Tyler is in jail, but he's already 9 years into a 12-year sentence, meaning in a couple of years, he could be free, most likely will. He did try to appeal his sentence, of course, in 2020. Thankfully, that was denied. And of course, we don't know for sure if he's guilty of making Shelley disappear. But man, it would be really amazing if justice came in the next 3 years before he's released so that her family can finally get peace. Because if it was him, and big if there, of course, then he would never have the chance to be free again. And as a reminder, he still remains the only person of interest in this case. But what's interesting is it has been speculated that maybe someone else could have been involved, because that private investigator I mentioned earlier made a good point that if it was Tyler who did this and he was the one who burned her car, he would have needed help getting home because it was about 20 minutes away from his house where the car was burned. So someone likely would have had to pick him up, right? And also, who was watching Lily? Not that I'd be shocked if he left Lily home alone. Honestly, that's kind of my guess. But if he did walk 20 miles home, I would really hope that someone was at the house watching Lily during that. But if you think back to that 911 butt dial, he said that investigators have witnesses who saw him walking in the middle of the road that night. So that makes you think, was he really walking all the way home, or was he walking to a certain point and someone picked him up? I don't know. That call alone just says so much about his possible involvement, in my opinion. I don't know. I just wonder if there's more to this. And according to the NAMIS website, there is a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of Shelley's killer. And I truly hope that we don't have to wait 14 more years for answers. Currently, Shelley would be 39 years old. She is 5'7". She weighed approximately 160 pounds, had blonde hair and hazel eyes, as well as two tattoos, one on her wrist that said Liliana, and a lily flower with a stem going down her back. If you have any information at all on her disappearance, please contact the TBI at 1-800-824-3463. Before I go, I did want to let you know that her daughter appears to be doing really well in life. She's an all-star volleyball athlete and received a full-ride scholarship to play in college. And I have to say, she is the spitting image of her mother. Truly so, so, so beautiful. And Lily, if you happen to see this, I just wanted to send you my best and say that I am just so sorry for everything that you have been through. The fact that you have been able to, you know, do so well at a young age in your life after, you know, going through the experience you have and not having answers or justice to this day, it must be incredibly painful. I also wanted to say that my team over at Higher Hope is going to be reaching out to you. We would love to get you a Hope Grant if that can help you in any way. And hopefully we can be in touch and talk soon. And man, do I hate ending episodes this way with no ending to it all, no justice, no answers. It's incredibly frustrating, but these are, you know, the cases that really need the coverage. So thank you all for tuning into this episode. I really appreciate it. I'm sure Shelley's loved ones do as well. But that is going to be it for me today, guys. I also wanted to let you know that I will not be here next week. I am going on a little baby moon with my husband because I am now 20 weeks along. I can't believe it. I'm halfway through this pregnancy. Also, if you didn't hear the news, I posted it to Instagram, but if you don't follow me, I'm having a little boy and I'm very excited. I like cannot believe I'm actually getting to be a mother of a boy. So yeah, I'm just really, really, really thankful and, you know, going to take some time to reflect on, you know, this experience and what's coming next and just spend some quality time with my husband before we welcome another one into the chaos But yeah, I'm so excited. And thank you guys for all your support. It just means the world to me. You have no idea. I feel very, very lucky to have just such an amazing audience who has been so kind to me during, you know, both my pregnancies. You guys are the best. But yeah, that's it for me today, guys. I hope you're having a good one, and I will see you next time.
That is going to be it for me today, guys. Thank you for joining me for another episode, and make sure you follow the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It really does help me out. If you want to watch the video version of this show, you can find it on my YouTube channel, which will be linked, or you can just search Kendall Ray. I will be back with another episode soon, but until then, stay safe out there.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.